What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the show. Today, I want to speak to the person who is kind of just knee deep in their health and fitness revamp or recommitting to a fitness routine or a diet or a nutrition regimen or just like committing to better lifestyle and nutrition habits altogether, especially since the start of the year. It doesn't have to be related to New Year's resolutions, but I find that this time of the year, like February and March, especially after like the dry January crowd starts to fizzle out and the New Year's resolutions can start to wear off and motivation can start to fade. Like this is a really difficult time for a lot of people to stay committed. I want to speak to some of the things that might be sabotaging your health and your fitness pursuits, or at least the changes that you're hoping to see along the way. Because I find that getting started isn't always the hard part for people. But recommitting and staying with those things are kind of the obstacles that keep people just going back and forth or being half in, half out, or just not seeing like the results that they're hoping to see in the beginning. And that can slowly lead to deterioration of motivation and not actually wanting to continue going forward because you don't think the efforts that you're putting in are going to elicit the results that you'd like to see. So I want to speak to the person who's maybe, you know, relatively new or within a few months of really trying to turn the knobs up a little bit. And this conversation is also relevant to the person who's been, you know, just committed to their health and fitness for the last 5 years as well. This could be some good reminders for you, especially as you've built a new routine. Sometimes getting out of that routine and being able to acknowledge certain areas that might benefit from some improvement could also help you get that next 5-10% progress that you're hoping to see or haven't seen yet. So I think there's a lot of take-home messages here. Nothing super groundbreaking as always. Like this, some of these episodes, I am looking at my notes here and I'm thinking about how many other types of topics we could talk about and say very similar to the things that we're going to be talking about today. So just makes me laugh a little bit because nothing you hear today is going to be a brand new topic that we've ever talked about, but talking about how it pertains to where you're at in your season of life, I think is always important and some really helpful reminders and honestly just helpful reminder for me as well, since I've kind of been in a fat loss phase. These are things that I'm paying attention to now that I'm 4 or 5 weeks in, and you know, the next 3 to 5 pounds are going to be so much more difficult than the first 6-7 pounds that I've lost already. So I want to just add the caveat of that. But the podcast is obviously for anybody listening, or if you just want to turn this on and then be distracted, that's great too. But one of the statements that I get a ton is this idea that I've been working really hard, but I'm not seeing results, or I'm not seeing my body respond to the changes that I'm making with my fitness and especially with my nutrition. Or a lot of times people will say like, hey, I have the workout part dialed in, but the nutrition is the thing that I struggle with the most, which I find to be true for a lot of people. I think, again, nutrition is just so confounded by so many different variables, like fitness and workouts and your steps and what workout classes you go to and what exercise modality. Like it's all pretty fucking straightforward. You get the exercise in, you can train hard. There's a lot of different ways that you can resistance train, for example. There's a lot of ways you can get cardio in. There's a lot of ways that you can try and find to build a little bit more steps or more activity into your week, playing sports, getting outside there. But it's pretty straightforward. And I think that being able to look at the application and the likelihood of people following through with their nutrition plan for the week is a lot higher because usually it's done less frequently for a lot of people. It's not something that you're thinking about multiple times a day or 5 to 10 times a day for a lot of people. And when we think about nutrition and snacking and eating and shopping and how much time we allocate to our nutrition throughout the week is again, if done correctly or done well, is going to be higher than the amount of times that you are exercising per week for most people, generally speaking here. And I get this message a lot where it's like, abs or nutrition is 80-90% and then the exercise is 10% or 20%. I think there's some truth to that. And if you're feeling like the nutrition piece is very difficult, but you have the exercise routine down, chances are you're not alone. And I've felt that way before. I still feel that way as it exists today. And I think that acknowledging that the nutrition piece can and is more difficult is almost a first step in a way, because you give yourself permission to be able to know that this is not something that comes super easy or super natural to everybody. Now, of course, there are people here like myself who have built their whole life and personality somewhat around, like, you know, nutrition and fitness. So that scenario is going to be different from somebody who is just trying to eat better and manage their work schedule and their relationships and their three kids at home and just trying to stay alive each week. Like, again, you have to know where you land on the spectrum and how much time you can actually allocate to a lot of these things that we're talking about here. But yeah, the people who say I'm training my ass off, but I'm just not seeing the progress. Like, that's kind of the person who I'm also speaking to today, because there are a lot of things that I'm sure you might be aware of, but might not be doing super well, that if you paid a little bit more attention, you might find that there's a lot of low-hanging fruit that you could actually get to a place where you're enjoying the process a little bit more, or enjoying some of the results that you're seeing, because you realize that you don't have to be perfect all the time, especially with the nutrition side of things. So yes, you know, consistency and adherence and all of these things are part of the equation, but there's probably some things going on in your life that might be influencing how you feel about your progress, how you feel about your results and the way you look, etc. As I'm speaking this out loud, one thing I'm thinking about before I go into this first point here is, part of the discussion in the beginning might also be managing expectations a little bit. We've talked about this before, but I think our you know, collective perception as a society of like what it means to be seeing meaningful progress is so fucking distorted and so off from what is actually true or what's actually realistic, that sometimes just having the discussion of like how quickly things might practically take could be a good way to just help us manage our own expectations and what we're going to see at what time interval. You know, for somebody who has 50 to 60 pounds to lose, like, you're probably going to see progress a lot more quickly within that first 1 to 3 months compared to somebody who's relatively fit, who's trying to just train harder, put on more muscle, or go into a lean bulk phase, or try and do a little bit of body recomposition, who is eating relatively well, who's already relatively lean. Like, that person, it might take 6 months to a year, for example, for them to see some notable changes that they might not notice already. So again, rate of progress is going to vastly depend on a lot of the starting points that most of you are going to be at and where you're at throughout this process. But managing expectations could be really helpful here. And, you know, if you're somebody who's trying to lose weight, like, losing a quarter pound to 1 pound a week could be incredible progress for some people. Some people are out here sitting here thinking we should be losing 30 pounds in 30 days. Like, that's what the fucking women's world magazines and shit that you see in the airport or Barnes and Noble, like all those headlines, Cosmopolitan magazine, like some of these things that we've been exposed to a very young age or over the years, like, they still exist today. And those messages still persist on the internet and on social media, and probably even from family and friends to a certain extent. So that is what we're competing with. And that's what we're trying to unlearn as we are setting goals, managing expectations, and then appreciating what type of benchmarks we can realistically hit along the way. So I want to put that in your ear as we talk about all of these things too, is like, all these things might be happening, just not as quickly as you'd like them. And that's okay. That doesn't mean that they're not happening though. So some people think that until I get to my goal, my weight loss goal or my fitness goal or my PR and doing a back squat, like, or doing my first pull up, like, I am not seeing progress until I get to that point, when in reality, like, you might be doing a quarter of a rep more for your pull ups, or you might be putting on 10 pounds a month to your back squat, or you might have lost 1 pound this last 2 or 3 weeks. And for some people, again, that could be a victory, considering maybe this time last year you'd be putting weight back on that you lost from earlier in the year. So again, this is all going to depend on the person, but I just think we always need to set the tone with that, because that is something that is so forgotten and such a big predictor of people's success, in my opinion, is how they handle stress, how they handle adversity and just frustration that you will inevitably feel along the way of you pursuing anything else from where you're sitting today, for example. So always have to say that. The first thing I want to say, though, pertaining to like people who are sitting here thinking like, yeah, the exercise part is easy, but nutrition is hard. One thing that gets in the way more than anything else I've found is a lot of times people are using their training or working out or just their general activity as an excuse to justify overeating and drinking later in the day or later in the week or consistently over the course of the month. I'm not trying to be your friend here. I want to give you some tough love. But when people start going to the gym, some people think that their nutrition choices don't matter as much because a lot of people associate working out with burning more calories. And the more calories you burn, and this is some of the gripe I have with some of these like workout classes and things that emphasize heart rate and calorie burn and how many sweat points or splat points you got. Like I there's truth and there's benefits to working your ass off and, you know, burning a little bit more calories, but seeing that and then using that to justify eating more or drinking more or just having more calories later in the day, whether that's subconscious or unconscious, like that, those are things that I, subconscious or conscious, like those are things that I'm seeing more often than not. And people can overeat very quickly when they start to increase their activity, partly because physiologically speaking, some people can see an intake or an uptick in their intake just from like an appetite standpoint. They could feel hungrier during the day, and whether they know they're eating more or not, or bigger portions or more snacking or more bites, licks, and tastes, like you can see that happen more quickly compared to other people. You know, some people, exercise can be appetite suppressant, but they might be more likely to overeat on the weekend or something when they, you know, are not exercising, for example. So a lot of people are going to respond to this very differently, but this mindset of like, I burned more calories, so I get to earn more food, is such a destructive way to think about activity. And I think that if we can disassociate the fact that, hey, we're burning calories with our exercise, and the reason that we're exercising, the reason that we're lifting, the reason that we're choosing to do something that's uncomfortable on a daily basis or a weekly basis is not just to burn 500 calories. It's because we're trying to build muscle. And because honestly, lifting and exercise is one of the biggest forms of self-care, in my opinion. We're lifting for our future selves. We're trying to improve our mental health because a lot of people fucking need it, you know, and therapy or gym is not therapy, but getting into the gym can absolutely help with stress management, sleep, just self-efficacy. There's so many benefits that come from lifting and exercising or running or playing sports. And as soon as we can realize that burning calories is one of the last reasons that we should be thinking about, you know, working out more throughout the week, like that's when I think this can start to click more, and it could be easier to make nutrition choices or at least appreciate that, like, it's not a justification to just overeat and eat whatever the fuck you want. Cause a lot of people feel like that. And I'm laughing kind of right now because I'm thinking about an audio that's trending on Instagram right now. It's a reel that I've seen over and over again. I know a lot of you who are on Instagram, you know what I'm talking about. It's like all of a sudden you just see the same, you know, 1,000 reels of people doing their own, you know, version of whatever audio and theme it is, or whatever the context of the video is. And right now, a lot of people are posting, it's kind of a video with an audio with a caption that says, remember what you're doing this for. And it's showing them lifting or exercising or running or doing something. And it will show them doing a lift, and then it'll pan to a dessert or cheesecake or donuts or In-N-Out or, you know, just insert whatever really high calorie food, dessert, treat that we all enjoy. And again, there's a place for that. And this is not a statement to say that you should not be eating those things, but I just think how this, and again, this kind of reel is being just perpetuated by a lot of really fit and healthy people, but a lot of people might see this reel and again, just reinforce or connect these dots in their brain where it's like, oh man, yeah, we're lifting so we can eat shitty food or we can eat junk food or we can enjoy ice cream guilt-free, when that's just not the case. And I don't know if that's the message that I would want people to be sending, especially fitness professionals. I get it's a joke. I get it's really something that's supposed to be lighthearted. And, you know, a lot of us feel that way at some point, but or feel this way about certain foods and certain things, and we can all laugh about it together. But there's a lot of people who might interpret that and internalize that in a way that's just reinforcing this kind of negative feedback loop that's already persisting in their head, where it's like, yeah, I need to work out to eat those foods. Or if I don't work out, then I don't get to eat those foods. And that is just a recipe for disaster, in my opinion. And that's something that a lot of people have probably struggled with throughout their life, that can lead to binge eating or disordered thinking patterns. So as soon as we can come to peace with the fact that we do not exercise to justify or to earn more, to eat more calories or to eat junk food, like, that is a big step forward. And if you're struggling with that right now, addressing that, acknowledging it, working through that could be the thing that is keeping you from where you would like to be. Okay. Especially if we're talking about, you know, calories and weight loss, which is a lot of people's goals, like your caloric expenditure that you increase from doing more exercise can be and is compensated in a way by your body later in the day. So just because you burn 400 to 600 calories a day by walking and running, like, that does not necessarily mean that you get to add that or more to your calories for the day. We should be accounting for that when we are coming up with your calorie targets, if we're deciding to track food, and when we're making decisions around the nutrition choices that we're making on a daily basis. But I just find that just factoring that in and thinking that you can eat back the calories that you burn from your exercise, or just, again, going all out because you got your workout in today and you can have three glasses of wine and the dessert and the appetizer while you're eating dinner with your friends. Like, that's just, it's not a good headspace to be in. And it could be something that most people could address that could make all the difference in the world. Cool. Next point I want to make here is speaking to all my really sedentary people. And again, this is a hard time of the year because, depending on where you're at, like, the West Coast has been actually incredible from a weather standpoint. But the last, like, 2 weeks, the Midwest, the East, the South, like, have been hit with the most fucked up, like, ice storm and snow and winter storms and just cold fronts coming through. I have a client who's who's done, like, I think 3 feet of snow removal within, like, a 3 or 4 day stretch. Some people don't even have groceries or access to food because delivery trucks are unable to bring food into the city because it's so cold and icy. Like, it's been kind of crazy to see. And I think a lot of people are improving, and it's, you know, like, a place like Dallas being 20 degrees is insane with ice everywhere. Like, that can fuck up anyone's activity. So I say all of this because I do appreciate the fact that, like, getting steps, getting more activity, getting more active could be made very difficult for people outside of their control right now. Now, there still are ways around it for sure, and we'll talk about that here in a second, but it is something that needs to be acknowledged because this time of the year might be really difficult for people. Just like summer might be really difficult for some people when it's 120 degrees in Arizona and you can't be outside and your steps go from 10,000 to 5,000 naturally. Like, that might be their version of winter. So I say all this because a lot of people have their workouts, their exercise classes, you know, their planned workouts for the day and for the week. They're lifting, you know, 30 minutes to an hour, 3 to 4 times a week, or even more, but you sit on your ass for most of the week, or you're sitting behind screens for the other 90% of the week that you're awake. Fuck yeah, those workouts are important. They're helpful. They get you moving. There could be a good break. I'd rather have that than people not working out at all, but we have to appreciate that, like, getting active and getting more steps in outside of those workout classes is also still important. Now, there's going to be a spectrum of what is feasible and what's not for you. But when we look at our metabolism and our energy burn, and we talk about, you know, calories out, like how many calories we're burning on a daily basis, lifting and exercising and that exercise activity is just one part of the equation. People would say that NEAT does not classify walking, just like daily steps and activity, in that category. I tend to agree. I would maybe put steps into your daily activity bucket for the day, but still, like, the point of you getting up and moving more is still part of this equation. And you getting fucking 3,000 to 4,000 steps a day is going to be very different from getting 7,000 steps a day. But when you start to prioritize just consistent daily movement around your exercise, and maybe every day isn't perfect, but if we can bump your averages up for the week, sure, we're going to be able to burn more calories. Like, it's going to be a lot easier for you to lose weight on 7,000 steps per day versus 2,500 steps per day. But you're also going to feel better because you're not fucking glued to a screen all day or glued to a couch or watching shows. And walking is good for so many things from a recovery standpoint, from digestion standpoint. It's good for heart health, good for your mental health as well. Like, there's so many reasons we should be getting more steps in throughout the course of the day. And we actually have some really incredible research that came out last year, a paper that looked at a ton of things. But this one thing, right? If we're talking about supplements and these hacks and everything that can improve heart disease and depression and dementia and even dying early, going from 2,000 to 3,000 steps per day up to 7,000 steps per day is an insane return on your investment. We're talking like 50% reduction in all-cause mortality or dying from anything, or lower cardiovascular disease risk, lower cancer mortality, lower risk of dementia and cognitive decline, lower risk of depressive symptoms if that's something you struggle with, lower risk of falling later in life. You know, like, just getting to 7,000 steps per day, we see insane increases in improvements in all of these markers of health and preventative health, especially. And I want this to be a victory for a lot of people, again, because 7,000 steps is a little bit of a lower bar than 10,000. 10,000, we've kind of talked about this in the past, but that 10,000 step per range day is something that was just kind of made up by a Japanese pedometer company back in the day. Like, getting to 10,000 steps a day, I think, is a great goal for a lot of people and might have marginal benefits over 7,000 steps per day. But for most people, getting from less than 5,000 steps per day up to at least 7,000, maybe 8,000, we are going to see 80, 90% of the benefits of being a more moderately active person. And I want that to be people's benchmark if that is not something that they are hitting consistently right now, because it can make all the difference in the world. And again, when we go back to this idea of, like, we're lifting and we're exercising, we're doing our classes, we're doing that super well, but you are super sedentary around those classes and you're just being active for, you know, maybe 90 minutes, 120 minutes a week, like, you getting a little bit more active during the day is going to make all the difference in the world from a body comp standpoint, energy output standpoint, and also just a quality of life standpoint, in my opinion. And this doesn't have to mean that you have to go on an hour walk every single day and white knuckle everything and, you know, force yourself to do more cardio. Like, there's a lot of ways that we could increase your steps. But if we think about ways you can add maybe an hour more of physical activity in a day around what you're already doing, there's simple things that can make a difference. I'm talking about, like, pacing, or if you're somebody who, like, makes calls at work, or, you know, you could always get a walking pad, but even, like, fucking walking around the house while you're on the phone instead of sitting on the couch or driving home, or walking the dogs more if you're, you know, if you have animals at home, or playing with your kids a little bit more, or maybe you're somebody who's dialed in the gym, but instead of sitting on the machine that you're using, maybe we're pacing around, and for the hour that you're in the gym, maybe 30 minutes of that is spent you just walking around between sets. Like, there's a lot of ways that we can increase compared to what you're already doing right now. And who knows, maybe the weekends might be a better opportunity for you to hit 10, 11,000 steps, and that bumps your average up for the week. Like, that could be realistic too. Maybe it's taking extra laps in Costco when you go there once a week, or parking farther away from the grocery store. Like, things you are already doing, you can add to what you kind of have in place right now, and not make it feel like you're completely overhauling your entire life just to get 6,000 more steps on average throughout the week. So this is a very important point, though, because, like, probably a third to half of our population are not getting and meeting our physical activity, you know, guidelines. And a lot of this health complications, diabetes, cardiovascular disease risk, all-cause mortality, a lot of these things could be mitigated and improved by just increasing your physical activity more naturally and not even killing yourself in the gym. So doing these things with me are very important. And I find that if you are super sedentary during the week, if you just turn the knob up a little bit on what your physical activity is outside of the gym, that could be something that could be a low hanging fruit that maybe gets you to where you want to be a lot quicker than you just trying to outwork shit in the gym and trying to out diet a super sedentary lifestyle. It's just not going to work well for everybody. Last couple here. As we're talking about training, one thing that I want to throw out there and to have people check in with themselves is making sure you're training hard enough or putting in a lot of effort when it comes to your exercise. If you have a body composition goal, or you want to change the way you look, or you want to build more muscle, you need to keep challenging yourself and get out of your comfort zone consistently. Every time you go into the gym, every time you go into a workout class, every time you're gifted the opportunity to make yourself uncomfortable and to get your workouts in for the week. If you are using the same weight for a 5-week program or a 10-week program, or every time you go to the class and you guys do RDLs and you're picking up the 30-pound dumbbells every single time, you are missing out on opportunity to give your body the right stimulus that we need to see to create change, meaningful muscle development, meaningful fat loss progression, meaningful body recomposition results. Like, you getting out of your comfort zone, doing more sets, doing more reps, doing more, you know, weight with whatever movements that you're doing, like, that is how we will continue to see the changes that we want to see in our body. And that's why I'm a big fan of tracking workouts if you are not already. And just making mental notes too, if you're going into some of these classes or you're doing your CrossFit class, like, trying to improve or to compete with yourself from the last time you did said exercise or whatever workout it is, that is how you continuously see change over time. But just going through the motions might work in the beginning. You might see some progress by being able to just show up and be more active 2 to 3 times a week, but it's going to get to a point where those newbie gains are going to be more dependent on you actually challenging yourself. And a lot of people who have been lifting and exercising for a long time kind of know what I'm talking about here. But even you, even the person who continues to show up and who's lift heavier over time, periodically, like, again, training to failure, past failure, doing different intensity techniques to reassess what your effort is in the gym could be really helpful as well. So don't sleep on that. Like, if you think your workouts are dialed in, but you're not training hard enough, chances are there could be extra room for improvement in that kind of department that we're talking about here that could be slept on and something you think you're doing, but you're not actually doing. So audit yourself and be honest with yourself. And that could be a really easy swap, since that's already a habit you've been able to implement and keep consistent with. Now just turn the knobs up and the intensity and how much you're doing in there and let the rest take care of itself. From a nutrition standpoint, one point I need to make here is eating enough protein, and I'd also adding eating enough fiber here. But if you want to build muscle, if you want to change your body comp, like, eating enough protein is very helpful. Now, I do think the average American probably is not under eating protein, but if you've never tracked protein before and your, you know, minimum goal, for example, is 130 grams per day, like, you might be surprised how easy it is to fall under that range. And for a lot of people, taking your body weight in pounds and multiplying by 0.6 or 0.7 grams or 0.6 or 0.7 will give you the amount of or grams that you should be eating per day, or a good starting point that I would recommend for most people. And if you have a lot of weight to lose, like, and you get a 250 gram protein number, that's probably a little extra. Take your goal weight, your target weight, or maybe your ideal body weight, and multiply that by 0.7, 0.8. That could also be a good starting point too. But tracking food, tracking period or protein for a period of time could be really helpful here. And yeah, if you're not consistently hitting your protein target on a daily basis, muscle gain isn't going going to happen as optimally as, you know, somebody who is maybe eating enough, getting their training dialed in, and eating enough protein consistently. And that's where, like, doubling or increasing the portions of the protein sources you're already eating, or adding a high protein snack, or having a protein shake. There's a lot of ways you can bump up your protein. We live in a protein crazed society, so there's a lot of ways to take advantage of some of the higher protein products. You might not need that though, but assess where you're at and see if you're hitting that consistently. Because if your goal is 100 grams and you're consistently hitting 70 or 80, like, you bumping up that 20 or 30 grams consistently might do a lot of benefits for you, from a satiety benefit, from a recovery standpoint, from a muscle development standpoint. All of those things could be something to just pay attention to if you are not already. And then last but not least here, I wanted to say a little bit about just stress management and sleep. We live in probably one of the more stressful times that I've ever remembered. And it's funny because, like, 2020 is like 6 years ago now. But the last, like, 5 years plus have just been a fucking blur. And I know a lot of people feel like that too. And even in today's kind of political landscape and kind of our hustle culture that we continuously immerse ourselves into, like, stress is not going to go anywhere. And chances are it's probably gotten worse and more chaotic over the years for you, especially as your life, you know, continues to change and evolve and your priorities get different and people have different kids or move or go back to school, like whatever season of life that you're in, stress is always going to be a part of it. Like there's just no way around it. But ignoring it is not helpful here. And stress is a motherfucker. And I've called it a silent killer before because it absolutely can dictate a lot of the decisions you make around food. But physiologically speaking, stress can damage you in a lot of ways as well. And we talk about inflammation. I'm not talking about spiking your cortisol here and you having a puffy, fat face or a FUPA. Like that marketing can get the fuck out of here. But stress is and can be part of the conversation. And so a lot of ways to quote unquote try and manage stress, but it's going to be different from person to person. Whether you're seeing a therapist, whether you're meditating, whether you're reading, whether you're intentionally putting the phones and screens away, doing things that you enjoy, having hobbies, not just like thinking my life is only work, kids, you know, taking care of my partner or mom or whatever it is, and then going to sleep. Like doing shit for yourself and doing things that make you feel alive is just as important here too. But if you're not trying to manage your stress and if you're not sleeping enough, man, those two are going to be working against you and making this shit so much more difficult than it needs to be. Even when we look at research, you know, people who are high stress individuals and people who, again, consequently might have less sleep or less good quality sleep and poorly, you know, just kind of stress management practices or might be leaning towards alcohol or other numbing behaviors, like that can lead to overeating and weight gain alone, not to mention just like mental health problems and complications and all other things that just make your quality of life suffer. So I really want you to check in with yourself and see if your stress management and your sleep and all of these things are something that you are taking seriously. And if not, what are some sleep hygiene strategies that we could implement that might make things a little bit better? Or some stress management practices that maybe you've done in the past that you aren't doing right now that could make this a little bit easier and more fun? What are things you've never done before that we could try? Things that you might be open to doing for the first time? Like those are all things that I really want you to just explore and think about and take very seriously, because this might be one of the more important things, especially as we're talking about you wanting to change the way you look, change the way you feel, change the way your body operates, change your longevity outcomes over time. Do not ignore stress and sleep. And again, for some people, you might be in a season of life where things are more stressful and you're getting less sleep, but making sure that you're recalibrating your efforts, managing expectations. But then when that season of life ends or you do something about that and you get to a different point where you can take advantage of those things, like making sure that that is part of the equation is so important here. So I wanted to end on that because I find that I struggle with that one the most. It's more of a reminder for me than anybody else here. But man, if we're looking to get healthy and fit and stay fit as we continue to progress this year, don't sleep on any of those things, but especially sleep and stress management, pun intended. Hopefully this helps. I got to go here, but check in with yourself. As always, be honest with yourself too. And just think about what nutrition, training, mindset changes you can feasibly change right now to make a meaningful difference. And chances are you're going to like the way you look and feel hell of a lot more than maybe what you're doing right now if you're a little bit frustrated and feel like you've plateaued or stalled a little bit with your progress. So do what you need to do, even if it's uncomfortable. And until next time, remember to do the purpose, train with attention, think with confidence as you work toward your own nutrition and fitness goals. Hope you have a good one. We'll chat soon. Peace. Thank you again for listening to this episode. If you found value and enjoyed it, it would mean the world to me if you posted a screenshot to your social media. If you do, make sure you tag me so I can say thanks. Or if you're on iTunes, scrolling down and leaving a 5-star review would be much appreciated. And if you ever want to get in touch with me, you can always find me on Instagram at LukeSmithRD. Thanks again for tuning in, and I hope you have an amazing rest of your day. I'll see you on the next episode.